Well, I'm back for the Real Vintage Podcast, and I'm your host, Stephen Cox, and I'll be with you today. And I'm very thankful that we're back for another episode. It's been quite a while. Stay tuned. Well, we are glad that you're back. Ken, of course, he's on to some endeavors. He has another podcast that he's helping, I think, his brother on. And so Ken, of course, is still a faithful member of our church and a great, great friend of mine. And I'm very thankful for him at least showing me some ins and outs about podcasts. And so I'm able to kind of do some on my own. Now, bear with me because this is the first podcast I'll do by myself. And it won't be as good the last year and a half, 2 years, but I have been absent for a while, and we've been building bridges together as a church family, and we bought the Bridge Campus, which is right up there near the road, right beside our existing campus. We call now the Educational Campus, and God has been so good to our church. We're in a great season of growth, but also of salvations and restoration and just prayer. And God's just been sending like a revival to our church without any type of meetings. Folks have been getting saved. I've got 13 or 14 people lined up for baptism Sunday. And so I cannot express to you how wonderful it is to be a part of a church that is seeking God and hungry for God. And I hope that this season will last a long time. I know churches go through seasons, and I know sometimes there's seasons where there's battles and discouragement, and we've had those, believe me. You've heard about those on past podcasts, but right now we're in a season, and it's been one of unification. People are unified and excited and praying and encouraged, and there's like a little buzz in the air, and I'm very thankful for what God is doing. There's new families, and a lot of returning guests, and there's an excitement in the air, and I'm very thankful for what God's doing. And so you continue to pray for Bible Baptist, and as I said, it's not always been that way. You know, there's times where there'll be families, of course, come and join and be a part and dive right in and serve, and then there's times where people leave. And you don't understand it. And I talk to pastors almost on a weekly basis where they're discouraged. So-and-so's left, and these people that I thought loved us, and they left. And, you know, a couple years ago, I wrote some things down after some people had left our church that I love very much, and good people. All obviously, us as pastors and leaders, we don't mind it when people leave that's caused trouble, or they're real selfish, or they're divisive, and they leave. Sometimes it's refreshing because they were causing discord and they were causing problems in church. So and I know this sounds terrible, but there's been times where I've actually prayed that God would take care of a situation. And in behind that prayer, I was hoping that God would send people away. And he did. Now there's casualties a lot of times with that in pastoring, where good people are hurt by bad people, or at least divisive people. And I don't want to call people bad. You know, we know that I'm not separating good and bad people. We're all, you know, the Bible says there's none as good. So there's only one good, and his name is Jesus. But you understand what I'm saying. There's good people in our churches, and there's some that are there that want to the preeminence, like a Diotrephes. You know, they desire that. So you understand what I'm saying, especially if you're a leader, a Christian leader, or a pastor. You understand what I mean by that. So how do we respond when good people leave our church? Obviously, we know that we respond when divisive people leave. We know that we respond typically in a good way. We're like, hey, thank God that's over, you know. But how about when good people leave? Maybe they were caught in the middle of a power hungry war. Maybe they were caught and maybe sucked into some discord. How do we respond to that? Maybe they just leave. Maybe their time there is up. And, you know, not everybody that leaves your church is disloyal. And not everybody that leaves your church is bad. And not everybody that leaves your church is angry at you. And so I've had to learn that. And, you know, it's tough. It's a hard pill to swallow, but sometimes people are there for a season. And it's not necessarily bad that they leave. It hurts, but it's not bad. There's people there that are there for seasons. Maybe sometimes they look around and they're just not growing and they need to go somewhere else to grow. Maybe they look at their kids and they're like, hey, I got to do something. My kids are growing up. I've got to get out. And so maybe it's the atmosphere. I know people that's left legalistic churches to go to churches that are preaching more, more biblical centered messages, expository messages, instead of beating people up all the time. And you know, I would have a hard time setting under that too. So what do we do? They're good people, but they leave. Well, I wrote down some things years ago after some things had happened, and I have never really publicly, other than writing them down and maybe sharing them on social media, I've never used them on a podcast. And I thought, well, maybe there's a different group that's listening to that. And so I'm not sure, but I think it could be a help, especially to leaders. And even if you are in a church and you're the person that's contemplating or praying about leaving, there's a way to leave, a right way. And we have a doorways class here at our church that we teach prospective members that'll come, and it's a 2-week class. We just share, basically, we have them share their testimony. They write it down, and then of course we teach about what we believe doctrinally, and we have some little things. And of course, it's like a bridge way for them to get into the church as far as service, really. But we also find out about them. They find out about us. And so we also have a doorways luncheon. So sometimes we'll do a luncheon and we get, and it's just informal, very personal, but it's a way to get new members in the door. And we find out if they're saved. We find out, of course, they've been scripturally baptized and some other little things. But we found out that a family, this is a long time ago, but a family had left their church in a bad way and they caused some problems. And there's some red flags popping up in this class, and I don't teach this class. One of my leaders does. So he came to me and he said, Pastor, there's something not right about this particular family and how they left this church, and it's another church of like faith. So we called that pastor, and that pastor said to us, hey, that's trouble. I'm just going to warn you. So we went to that family and we're like, hey, you know what? Until you get this right with that former pastor, we can't allow you to join our church. Now, if you're listening to this today and you're like, I don't agree with that. Well, that's fine. Again, that's why we can do whatever here and you can do whatever there. But I'm telling you, we don't want trouble, and you don't either. And so if they'll cause it at that church, they'll cause it at yours. And you do understand that. So we dealt with it, and they got mad. You know, hey, you know, y'all won't let us join and this and that. And I said, well, you know, if you get this right, absolutely. You know, if you get this right. And they refused. And so then they moved on down the road, and I was thankful they did, because again, it was going to be a problem. And so my thought is, okay, for every situation like that, you know, you'll have a lot of good people leave. And so we've got to be mindful of that. So I want to give you a couple things. The first thing, what to do when good people leave your church. Number one, do not criticize their decision. Do not criticize their decision. You know, that's between them and God, ultimately. And so it's so easy for us to kind of assume or nitpick or gripe or even gossip. But let's not criticize their decision. It is their decision. And you know what? By you criticizing ain't going to change their decision. So let's not criticize it. Number two, pray for them. Pray for them. So you don't know what's going, they're personally going through. You, maybe you do know a little bit, but pray for them. You know, prayer always makes things better. And it's a whole lot better to pray than to criticize. Number three, do not privately gossip about them to others. So it's so easy to get in a corner and after a church service or out in the hallway or at a restaurant or at a barber shop or at a hair salon or wherever, and you start talking about former families that attended your church and left, and you can just beat them to death, social media. And let's not criticize their decision, and let's not privately gossip about them. How about this? Instead of gossip, how about pray? And pray for them. How about number four? do not post ugly things about them on social media. That is an absolute no-no. Social media has made church 2022 very complicated. Matter of fact, in the last 10 to 15 years, social media, see, the church has always been broken because we're broken. But now we're broken with social media. So everybody's got a voice, everybody's got a platform, everybody's got a little soapbox, and they can get up and they can scream about what they don't like about their church and their pastor. But here's the deal, pastor, don't you do that to them. Even if, and by the way, good people ain't going to do that. They're going to leave a church, but they're not going to say nothing. And you neither should you. Neither should you. Number five, do not avoid them when you see them out and about. Oh my goodness, this is so hard because it's awkward. I get it. It's very awkward when you see people that used to attend your church and they're not. I understand. That's the elephant in the room. And you know, if they run from you, and that hurts, by the way, if they try to avoid you, then that's one thing and you can't help that. But you should not, avoid them. And I was recently in a restaurant and I saw a lady that used to attend our church. I don't see her anymore. I think she's going somewhere else. And it's a long story. Good woman. But Rebecca and I were together and saw her over there. She's seen us and we, you know, it was kind of an awkward thing, but I made sure to go by her table and talk to her. And then we picked up her bill without her knowing and paid for her lunch or her breakfast. And haven't seen her since. But here's one thing that I try to do. Let's not burn bridges. At least she could leave and say, you know what? Hey, you know, man, I could go back if I wanted to. I know he cares about me. And that's what we should be about. And again, I'm not tooting my own horn, but what I'm saying is it'd be better for me to do that than to just kind of go a long way around the restaurant and not speak to her at all and to make it very even more awkward. Number six, remember all the positive things they did for you and your family and your church. So don't forget about the good things. And that's often what we focus on. We focus on the negativity. We focus on them leaving and how they left. And we need to focus on what they did while they were there. Man, they could have taught a class. They think about all the times they gave special offerings and their tithes, and they prayed for you, and they did this. Maybe they led folks to Christ. Who knows? But think about the good things they were there. And then when your church hears of a heartbreak, or when you hear of a heartbreak in their life, reach out. So, you know, recently we had a family that's had a really bad heartbreak, terrible. And you know what? Reach out to them. It doesn't mean that you have to necessarily even call them, but you could write them. You could go by if it's a sickness or if it's a death. You could go by and you could just show up and you could send flowers. You could send a text message. You could do something because they need to know that you care. You're not trying to steal them back from someone. No. You're just showing up and you care, and that's what's important. And then be sincere. You know, be sincere. Be honest. It always, you know, let's not, everything that we do, we ought to have a pure motive behind it. It ought to be pure and be sincere and then be kind. Now we need that revival in everything we do. I mean, social media is the nastiest place you can possibly be. And let me tell you something. I mean, if you think Facebook is a problem, Twitter is 10 times worse. I mean, we got little fifth graders, you know, keyboard warriors just punching at each other. And if they seen each other in person, it would be different, but they can talk real big behind the keyboard. But our people need to see kindness. And it could be that people leave because you're not kind. We need to be kind, you know, lower your tone, look people in the eyes. Don't stand up when they're sitting down, you know, be on the same level with them and just be kind. And by the way, that's in the Bible. And then leave the door open. So, like I said earlier, let's not burn bridges with people. There's too much of that where we burn bridges where people cannot return, and that's a shame when people could come back. Sometimes people make a full circle and they realize what they had. We've even had that here in just 6 years of pastoring this church. I've had people come back. And it happens, and I'm thankful that they feel that way. There'll be some people that never will. Pride will keep them away, but that's between them and the Lord. Here's the deal. You and I should never burn bridges. We should never say, you know what, you can't come back, or we shouldn't be ugly to people when they do leave, because God may bring them back to your church. And that's, we want that. We want people to feel that they can always come back. Think about this. How awkward did COVID make it for people that disappeared? How awkward did it make it for them to come back? Did you preach about them while they were gone? Did you scream about them behind the pulpit? See, you know, I took the approach of I still was their pastor. Now, I didn't really agree with them staying gone for 2 years or a year and a half, but you know, we took all the necessary precautions to keep people safe. We did all the things we thought we should do without living in fear, and we went on that journey. But there were some people that call Bible Baptist their church home that I've yet to see. There's some people that it took longer than others, but guess what? I've not said one word to them about it. One family recently come back after almost 2 years. Almost 2 years, they recently come back, and the husband got saved. And here's what I believe. I believe God dealt with them about that. And here's what I also believe. I believe that if I were rude to them and said ugly things about people behind the pulpit that stayed away, and how they were fear mongers, and how they were, or they were afraid, and they were not living by faith, and I was doing this and sending, you know, being ugly to them, I honestly don't believe they would have come back to our church. And how sad would that have been? So I feel like we as a church need to be mindful of not burning bridges and being unkind to people. We're all broken. We're all ruined by the fall. We're all messed up. And we all need to be mindful of each other, especially during these crazy times that we're in. And pastors, if this could help me dealing with a touchy subject, I believe it can help you. And that's my prayer today, is that it will truly help you as a pastor when good people leave. They're going to leave. They're going to. Not every Sunday does someone join your church. Not every Sunday does people stay. Not every Sunday does people, they just disappear. And I'll be honest, out of 10 families that leave your church, only one or two will ever tell you why. Sometimes you'll just never know. And it's okay. They're going to leave. And you know what? Just don't burn bridges, because they may come back. They may get right with the Lord, or maybe they get right somewhere else, or maybe they realize down the road, okay, we're in a different season. We're going back to that church. That's where God helped us the most. That's where we realize we should have never left. However that case may be, don't ever give up on those people. Don't burn bridges, and just stay in this thing. And, you know, my prayer for all of you pastors is that we will grow together through this, and that we will unify. And I don't care what you are. If you're preaching Jesus, I'm in your corner, and I'm truly for you. And I hope to God that you will get some encouragement through this podcast in these next days that we try to launch this thing back. That was literally my goal in the very beginning. It's not going to be the fanciest podcast. It's not going to be one of these self-promotion kind of deals. I'm not interested in that at all. If you listen, you listen. If you don't, you don't. I just want to be a help. And I want to speak truth to you. And some weeks it'll be like this. Some weeks it may be fun and laughing and having guests on. And so I hope you'll listen. I've missed it just like you have. I do not take it lightly that you would listen. And there's been a lot of folks. I just checked the app for the first time in like 5 months. And I was blown away by the listeners, and it's just incredible. And so I appreciate all of you that have even listened to old episodes. That's kind of cool. And we're going to launch this and get it back on a pretty consistent basis. And I apologize, and I do. That's my word. I want to keep it where we can have something consistent for you all the time, something fresh. And I'm very thankful that I call you friend, and I'm glad that you joined us these 20 minutes. And I hope that you'll have a great rest of your week. And remember, if you would, share the podcast, share it on the social media, maybe talk about it, message us if this maybe helped you a little bit. And then ultimately pray for us. That's really what we desire. I desire your prayers and your encouragement. And we love you guys. Hope you have a great day.